For a great Chicago show, we can tell you where to go. You should dial your radio to the Skinny and Hooley Show. It's the Skinny and Hooley Show.
How's it going there, everybody from Cork, New York, Dundalk?
Hey, how's it going, everybody? Welcome once again to the Skinny and Hooley Show. I'm your old friend Mike Houlihan, and with me, as always, my old buddy, my pal, my friend, Mr. James Skinny Sheehan. Skin, what do you say?
Hey, Hooley, how are you doing? It's a great night to be back here at Lizzie McNeil's.
It is indeed. We're right into winter the Christmas season.
Yeah, we're coming into Christmas, and winter is here in Chicago, and it's a great night, though.
You're listening to the Skinny and Hooley Show. We're brought to you by Flood Brothers Disposal. Our old pal Bob Flood, we're coming at you out of Cicero, Illinois, WCEV. We're Chicago's ethnic voice, 1450 on your AM dial. We're on Facebook. We're on Twitter. We're streaming online at WCEV1450.com. If you ever miss a show, folks, you can always catch the podcast, usually up by Monday at SkinnyHooley.com.
So, Hooley, we had a great time at the Irish Fellowship last Friday. A lot of laughs.
Yes, we did. It's been a momentous week for the Skinny and Hooley Show, but we could talk about that later.
Yeah. But it was a nice time to see Brendan and Boz. And
you know, it's fun because there's about 80% of the people I'm so glad to see, and the rest of them are like 20% flannel mouth fakers. They can't stand. They don't want to see.
Well, there's a few there that don't want to see us, too.
I know that. I know they don't. I see them, and they see me, and it's like, I'm taking a duck on this guy.
Okay. Yeah, but we get that great table in the back, so as soon as
perfect, it's perfect.
Yeah,
quick exit.
Boz gets that table all the way in the back, so we don't have to.
You know what I missed though? I heard Cliff Carlson had triple bypass surgery or something.
Yeah,
God bless him. Say a prayer for him, folks. Yeah. I guess he's okay though.
Yeah, he's the best. Cliff is the best.
He is. God
the
bless
Irish
him.
American News.
Well, we're
does
thinking
a great
about
job.
You, Cliff.
Yeah. So get well soon, Cliff.
Yeah. That's a tough crowd to make an announcement in front of, I know that.
No one does.
Nobody pays any attention.
Heather, who is our guest here tonight, she was with me, and I explained to her, nobody pays any attention to them.
No.
And they think it's important to him.
Some of them think it's all in the square, but it ain't.
Right, right. It's all good.
So we're with the new executive director of Special Olympics, Heather Kundert. Did I say it right?
You said it correctly. Yes, thank you.
Congratulations.
Thank you so much. Thank you for allowing a German to be on your Irish show.
That's
I appreciate
a big
it.
Deal.
I feel like running, it is.
You know, yeah. Did you have to interview with Skinny for the job and everything?
I did interview with Skinny for the job.
Well, that must have worked out. You're here.
I'm here. Right. It worked out to my favor for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. You started already?
I did. I'm 1 week on the job today.
Oh, okay.
It's been a busy 1 week.
Oh, I'll bet. So on Friday, he took you to the Irish Fellowship Club.
He did.
Baptism by fire.
Monday was even more so. He sat me down at 9:30 and said, we have an event tonight. Can you be there? Sure. It was perfect. It was great. But yeah.
So what was Monday night?
He doesn't remember.
The 50th anniversary celebration committee. Yes.
That's when I checked into the hospital. But anyways, that was good.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it was good that I wasn't there.
It was. It's been a busy week all the way around. So it's been great, though.
And that's part of this time of the year, really. There's,
of course.
There's something,
so
there,
something
stressful. And, it's crazy.
Yeah. Trying to get all those holiday tier drinks in before. And
And it's all good, though. It's all good. You see a lot of good people, and we're getting close to Christmas, so it's going to continue for another 2 weeks, and then everybody goes into hibernation.
Breather.
And then I go to Florida, Hooley. I know you're disappointed.
Where are you from, Heather?
I am from South Dakota originally.
Where in South Dakota?
I am from Mitchell, South Dakota.
Oh, Mitchell, sure.
Sure. Home of the world's only corn palace. Google it if you don't know what that
means.
They
got a corn palace, huh?
They do. It's a building in corn, and I'll never forget when we first moved there. I was 9. Yeah. Thought I'm going to go to this building back in the day when you could walk a mile down the street when you were 9 years old and no one would think anything of it.
No one would bother you.
No one would bother you.
Good old days.
I thought I would see thrones and like big draperies. No, it's a gym. Yeah. It's a gym, but it is kind of cool.
Oh, it's for basketball.
Basketball, and they decorate the outside in corn. But yeah, it's for basketball, graduation, concerts. Take
Where did
choice.
You move from to go there?
Sioux Falls, South Dakota. So my family's either
So you went from Sioux Falls to Mitchell.
Sioux Falls to Mitchell, then back to Sioux Falls, actually.
Okay.
Yeah. So then
Sioux
then
Falls
here.
Is a pretty big town, isn't it?
A couple hundred thousand, 200,000, 250 at this point, I think. Yeah. Yeah. So not as small town as people think, but yeah.
So you're just getting in to meet all the people and everything. Got a lot of great people.
But she's got a track record here. What
I do have a track record here.
Oh, here in Chicago.
Yeah, I've been here for 18 years.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Yes, I've been in Chicago 18 years. Yeah. I'm a Chicagoan at this point. Yeah. This is the longest city I've lived
in. She'll have a Southside accent in about another 2 weeks.
Yeah. Hanging around with you.
You'll pick it up real quick. Yes. Yeah, so I've been here 18 years. I came from the Pulmonary Fibrosis Foundation.
Oh, that's right. You were telling me that.
And cystic before that. And
cystic
then
fibrosis. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So you got a big not-for-profit background.
I do. And then I was in finance before that. So very varied.
So you could
background.
Go back to those finance guys to get them to kick in dough for all the
Well, that's always the goal, right?
Yeah, right. Exactly. Pick their pockets.
Pick their pockets. I know how their corporate giving works.
It's kind of like when you go to these parties and stuff and these people see you. Here he comes.
He's going to put the arm on us.
Right.
There are definitely people who know when I email them what I'm emailing them for.
Right.
Well, you know, I like to get that right out in the open, too, though. It's like, hey, let's not fool around. It's all about the money.
It's all about that. They knew that's what I do. They knew that's what I did before I left finance. I was worked with the MS Society pretty regularly, and we get
multiple
them involved.
Multiple sclerosis.
Yeah. Okay. So they know. My friends and my friends and family are used to it by this point.
So it's kind of a calling what you're doing.
Yes.
Yeah. I've been doing it for a long time. I've probably been volunteering and raising money since I was a teenager.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. So I left finance and went back to my roots.
Yeah. That's great.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a vocation. You're doing good. That's great. Helping people out. Yeah.
And we have so many kids, Huli. You know, Huli knows I talk about Special Olympics like every week on this show.
Why not?
But we have a lot of kids in Chicago that need help, and it's not just we have 50 competitions throughout the year, and we got to raise the money for all that stuff. And it's all good. The Park District's real good to us.
Yeah.
Mike Kelly.
Yeah, everyone's really good. So far, even though it's been a busy week, it's been pretty amazing. And talking with the staff that we have and how excited they are and how much they've grown to love Special Olympics and really love the athletes that we work with what we're doing. And, you know, some of the things I learned through the interview process was even about the arts programs that we do and some of the other programs that we provide in terms of not just the sporting events. So I think it's a great organization, which is part of the reason I was really drawn to it.
Have you met William Tang yet?
I have not. I've heard a lot about him, but I have not met him yet.
Okay.
Someone you won't forget.
He's a character.
Yeah. I approved a newsletter, I think, somewhere along the line that he was on. Yes.
Okay.
He's
a kibitzer. You know.
Yeah. Well, that's perfect. You need somebody who's a great ambassador like that.
Absolutely.
We had snowshoeing and cross-country skiing last Saturday at a number of the parks in the city because it's gotten so big. And so Saturday night, about 8:30 or something, my phone rings. It's William. Skin, did you hear the news? I'm like, no, William. What's the news? I won a gold medal in cross-country skiing today.
Over at Mount Greenwood Park?
He was at a different park. But he was all excited about it, and he goes, make sure you tell everybody at the office about my gold medal. I said, absolutely.
We're telling the world now, William Tang, gold medal.
Yeah.
You know, I'll never forget, Skinny, when you were running one of the marathons and they had a little bar set up. I think it was Mark, Italian guy. I can't remember his name, but he owned the bar. But he let us hang out there all day. And you were a little late coming in. Do you remember this? And William was distraught that, you know, you weren't.
I know. He was crying. Oh, he was all upset. And I'm like,
Skinny. Don't worry.
Don't worry.
It's like a bad penny. He'll show up.
He got very upset that time.
Yeah.
That's a good cheerleader to have, though. You know, he's
looking
out for you.
He's the best. He's always in a good mood. Yeah. He's just a terrific kid. But we got a lot of great kids like that. And when you look at Special Olympics to about the Irish roots of it, you know, when you come back here, we just hit our 50th anniversary, which you know, Huli, and it was here in Chicago.
We had Ann Burke on the show.
Yeah, we've had Ann Burke on the show, and we had, but it's Mayor Daley,
yeah,
father, Mayor Daley Sr., the Kennedys. We've had them all. I mean, it started with all of them. It's got really strong Irish roots, and we get great support from, and I was telling Heather at the thing last Friday, everybody says, see that guy over there? He gives me the check.
Oh, yeah.
This guy, this guy. And they're, you know, they're very supportive of
they
Special
are.
Olympics.
The union's very supportive,
yes,
right?
Yeah, yeah, everyone's really supportive, and I was really excited to meet them all. I couldn't take a quiz and remember all of their names,
sure,
but...
Oh, you'll get to know them
or
all.
Maybe I could do a matching game with names and and faces.
Believe me, I don't know. I kept saying...
Skinny doesn't know their name.
I know.
I'm very good about introducing myself.
So you just give your name when I cue you. Hey, Joe, you know, yeah, I want you to meet the new director. And she would step right in. I'm Heather Kundert. How are you? Bah, 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 bah. And then the guy would say, you know, I'm Joe O'Brien or something. And
yep, that's the best way when you can't remember someone's
right
name.
Believe me, I'm a pro.
Yeah. Yeah, so learn how to work a room. Skinny was the best at it on Friday. It was great.
Oh my God! Yeah, we had. I remember we kept waiting for him and waiting for him, yep, and waiting for him. Yeah.
And we got our. We're working on our two big things right now, Huli. The Chicago Marathon.
Right.
30,000 people were denied entries into the Chicago Marathon today.
Right. Denied. So they can all run. All 30,000 of them can run with us.
Yeah.
Yes. So if they want to run, they can sign, they can, still can get an application.
But they got to come in through Special Olympics.
Yeah, they got to raise some dough for us. It's like $1,500 or something. But
but
you know, they got 9 months to raise it.
Right. Yeah, so we're there for them every step of the way.
Yeah.
To do that, and we have the plunge coming up on March 3rd, which will be the 19th annual this year. So we're
19th annual plunge.
19th annual. Yeah.
You trying to get any movie stars this year?
Well, you know, we're gonna try. We're gonna try. Yeah. We'll see who we can.
Hooley's done the plunge.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah, we did it that one year, remember?
I did it twice.
Twice.
Yeah. It's been the number one question I've been asked. Are you going to plunge? I'm like,
oh, you gotta. Come on. Weather. That's got to be part of the. Can you wear a wetsuit to the plunge? Is that allowed?
Ann Burke did last year.
Wow. Yeah, I've seen some pictures of people. Yeah. I've been looking at a lot of pictures today. I've seen some.
Actually, it's really not even worth it. Because it's so hard to get those wetsuits on and off.
Right. And then when you're cold and your fingers are cold.
You just go in and get out as fast as you can.
With.
Get it over with.
Yeah. I mean, if I do it, it'll be in some sort of, there'll be a costume involved.
Oh,
sure.
Yeah. Everybody wears, that's the fun of it.
Right.
Everybody's got costumes and everything. And
yeah.
Now, how much did they raise last year for the plunge?
1.8. 1.8 million.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
And it's only been going for 19 years?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
But people pay to jump in Lake Michigan.
Sure.
We have $2 million goal this year. So, of course, we need more people that want to jump in and
they can put a team together. They just go to
it's a lot of fun, too.
It
to
is.
Do it
it's
with
a
your
ball.
Friends and everything.
It's
oh,
a ball.
Yeah. There's been some great team costumes I've seen, which I think is the most fun. You see all of them dressed up and in a team outfit. And
some were very creative.
Yeah.
A lot of thought goes into them, a lot of work.
Now, creativity. You get a lot of TV. You know what you should do?
Gosh.
You should film a special about the plunge.
It's actually a good idea.
It is a very good idea,
Put it on Channel 9 or 11 or something.
Yeah. No, I think that's a great idea.
Because there's so much great stuff that you could shoot, and then you just edit it and get it in the air. That'd be a good fundraiser.
And there's 5,400 people at the beach, so there's some great footage you
can
get.
Great costumes and everything. And
and the athletes are there all cheering you on as you jump in.
And a lot of celebrities are there. Even if there's no movie, there's Chicago celebrities and people like that.
Yeah, well, all the TV shows that are around here, too.
Like Adam Lee, does he still do it? Skinny, he used to do it every year.
He didn't do it the last 2 years, but Mike is a great. Has been a great supporter of Special Olympics, and he always pumped it up, and he's quite a character. But I think he had a couple of medical things, but I think he's doing fine now.
He used to get a painting of the NBC peacock on his chest. Remember
that?
On
his back.
Oh, it's on his back. Okay.
Oh,
yeah.
And then he would jump in with that.
And he's in great shape.
Yeah,
he's like a muscle man, and just an amazing guy. but he was always a good sport and keep everybody laughing and everything.
Yeah, NBC's been real good to us. But there's all the TV stations.
Yeah, everyone's been very good to us. It's been, you know, one of the things when I was even interviewing for the position, you know, you'd heard about it on Sunday morning as people are jumping into the lake and things like that. So I was like, oh, yeah, I've seen that. Swear I'd never jump in, but that may change, I guess.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of funny, too. It was always the Chicago Polar Plunge.
Yeah.
Now when you talk to people, they just say, hey, when's the plunge? They just, everyone calls it the plunge. That's how they call it.
Yeah.
When's the plunge? When's the plunge?
Now, does the Illinois Special Olympics, they started doing something like
they
that.
They have.
They copied it or something?
Yeah, they have a number of plunges throughout the state. And we're still some talk about we might even have them cancel some of theirs and join with us.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, how can we collaborate?
It would just make it a lot easier because they have one in Evanston and they have one in Naperville. You know, it'd just be better if we did one.
Where would they be plunging in Naperville?
In like some guy's backyard or something.
Okay. There might be a lake out there. I don't know. Though.
Right. Yeah.
I'm sure there's something out there. I don't travel to the suburbs very often.
Good.
So.
All right. So if anybody wants any information about you, about Special Olympics, they go to sochicago.org.
Yes,
is that right?
That is correct. Yep. They can find information about the marathon, about the plunge. Not me yet. But
or if they want to donate.
They want to donate.
Donate, Stevie, this is why he's our best advocate.
Call
right
Heather
there.
If you want to donate.
Yes.
And she'll talk to you if you want to donate.
I will talk to you about donating and making
sure. None of
the
small change stuff.
Crop it up.
Exactly. Yeah. You better be prepared at that point. Yeah. This is why he's our best advocate, though, too.
We're wishing you 100,000 welcomes here in Chicago.
Thank you so much.
We're really glad that you're here. You're going to have a lot of fun, too. So we do. She already got the message. We do have fun in the office, and we get stuff done. It's serious business. It is a business, but we also try to make the things that we do
fun. Yeah, it's a great camaraderie for the office.
Right.
Yeah. So
just come to the plunge, and you'll find out. One last thing, too, on the plunge. There's so many teams that we have, and if people are interested, get a group together.
Yeah.
You know, I saw the Fahey's are from the south side. They listened to the show. I saw them last Saturday at the snow shoeing.
Oh, yeah.
And he said, we're working on it. My kids, you know, last year they had like 80 people.
Wow.
It's one family.
And if you all go in together, then your whole body heat just makes it warm.
Everybody
and you don't
just
notice
hold
it.
Hands and run
exactly.
In and run out. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, so get a group
together.
Well,
I wouldn't say you don't notice it, but it's not as cold.
Yes. Well, thank you guys so much
for
having me.
Thank
God
you.
God bless you.
Heather,
best
welcome
to meeting
is
everyone.
It's going to be great.
Thanks so much.
Thanks, Heather.
Thanks, Heather.
We'll be right back on the Skinny and Hooley Show after these messages from our friends.
Attention commercial business owners, industrial business owners, restaurateurs, apartment, condominium, and building maintenance managers. Flood Brothers Disposal and Recycling Service wants to earn your business. When was the last time you checked your garbage disposal rates? How about making a call or emailing for a free quote today at 773-626-5800 or online to floodbrothersdisposal.com. Flood Brothers is one of the last family-owned and operated solid waste recycling and yard waste firms serving metropolitan in Chicagoland. Flood Brothers specializes in expert personalized service, extremely competitive pricing, and is backed by the Flood Brothers family name. Call Flood Brothers today. There's no charge other than a phone call to get a free quote. Call 773-626-5800 or go online to floodbrothersdisposal.com. When your name is on the trucks, you work harder to satisfy every customer. Call 773-626-5800. Flood Brothers Disposal and Recycling Service. Your garbage and recycling waste is their bread and butter.
There's only one Irish pub on the Chicago River, and that's Lizzie McNeil's at 400 North McClure Court. We spend a lot of time there taping the Skinny and Hooley Show at Lizzie's almost every Wednesday night. You can escape the hustle and bustle of Navy Pier and relax at Lizzie McNeil's. Our old pal John Wren is your host. Please say hello when you stop by for one of their ice-cold brews in an authentic Irish pub. One visit and you'll be calling it your hometown hangout. We've been hanging at Lizzie's for going on 7 years now, so join us. When the weather gets nice, they have two outdoor patio areas where you can take advantage of the sunshine, a cafe menu of salad sandwiches and appetizers. Lizzie's also has a great private party room that's perfect for birthdays, graduations, and most nights at Lizzie's, you can meet the elite of Chicago's Irish-American community. So stop by Lizzie McNeil soon, right by the river. Tell them you were sent by Skinny and Hooley. With a history going all the way back to 1896, the International Union of Operating Engineers has continued to protect workers and their families with loyalty and brotherhood. Local 150 has continued to thrive through economic booms and busts with careful training and aggressive organizing. Under the leadership of President and Business Manager Jim Sweeney, Local 150 has implemented programs and action plans
to create work, protect benefits, and keep members working. And they've been helping the Irish-American community of Chicagoland for just as long. Skinny and Hooley Show is proud to be associated with Jim Sweeney and Local 150, and we salute the continuing efforts of the International Union of Operating Engineers and their support of Irish and Irish-American families now and in the future. Thanks to Local 150.
Putting your future in the hands of a lawyer can get personal, particularly in personal injury cases. You've got one shot at justice, so you're going to want a guy who thinks like you. Tom Gorman is Southside Irish all the way. He grew up in Holy Redeemer Parish, went to Brother Rice, and yeah, he got a ride to play ball at Notre Dame, played on the undefeated 1988 National Championship football team. After a shoulder injury ended his career, Tom stayed on with the Fighting Irish for his master's and law degree. Tom won the American Jurisprudence Award for trial advocacy at Notre Dame Law School, and he's been a trial lawyer ever since. Tom's practice is devoted exclusively to personal injury and wrongful death. Jury's $1 million verdicts for his clients, but his focus remains on those families and their futures. Tom and his wife, Christine, have lived in Beverly for almost 20 years. And they're raising their five kids in Christ the King Parish, Brother Rice, Mother McCauley, and their oldest son is now at ND as well. Lots of folks have to deal with tragedy. It's good to know there's a guy out there you can count on who'll be in your corner to protect your family. You can call Tom Gorman directly at 312-345-7210 and tell him about your situation. Or go to the website, www.gormantriallaw.com. He's a good guy. There's no charge for the consultation, and you'll meet a new friend that's ready to fight for you and your family. Call Tom Gorman today at 312-345-7210 and tell him your story. If you're looking for an office in the loop, you got to check out Integrated Office Suites at 20 North Clark Street and 455 North City Front Plaza Drive in the NBC Tower. IOS has an entire floor in these two very prestigious buildings, and they offer the best in executive offices, virtual business offices, personalized phone answering, conference room and day office usage, administrative support services, and customized packages with fixed monthly invoices. Integrated Office Suites are convenient and very classy. So get in touch with our friends at integratedofficesuites.com or call them at 312-561-2300 and tell them Skinny and Hooley sent you. That's integratedofficesuites.com, 312-561-2300. You'll be glad you did.
And we're back.
And we're back on the Skinny and Hooley Show. And we're very fortunate to have Scott Bolt with us. His brother Bob taught my kids at Carmel. Scott's Mount Carmel. Scott is a Mount Carmel alumnus. What year did you get out?
85.
Okay. And he's also been living in Belfast for the last several years.
For the last 20 and then about 10 years in Dublin.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Now, what brought you to Belfast or even Ireland?
Hillary brought me to Belfast. I met her in Dublin in a salsa club, as you do.
Who's Hillary?
Hillary's my wife of 20 years this year.
Oh, good for you. Congratulations.
But to Dublin was, when I was in Carmel, I thought I might be interested in the study overseas.
Oh, yeah.
And so I just followed a path, wrote to a few places, and ended up
for college.
Yeah.
Oh, that was a good idea. Yeah. Your brother was telling me Father Bob Carroll took a group to Ireland, a group of kids, right?
Actually, to Germany.
Oh, to Germany.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I was talking to him. He's been a great friend of ours for years.
He's a terrific guy. Tell him I said hello.
I will. Yeah. I will. And so he kind of inspired the initial journey. In fact, he would say I was reverse migrating to Poland. That's our ancestry.
Yeah.
But the plane couldn't make it, so I ended up in Ireland. And yeah. I did my degree in Maynooth, and then I was
to Maynooth. Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
I did an arts degree there, and then I was teaching in Carmel for 2 years. 88, 89.
Mount Carmel
in Chicago in 1990, 1991.
Was your brother teaching there then?
He was.
Okay.
He was. So it was a good combo.
Two Bolt brothers, yeah.
Look out.
My kids loved your brother as a teacher. They just thought he was terrific. Yeah, because he's so real, you know. He's a
exactly.
great guy. Yeah.
Now, are you related to the sprinter, that Bolt guy from Jamaica?
Yeah. Just Olympics. One cousin removed. Yeah.
This guy has a real deadpan routine. I was watching his show. He had a show called Culture Hub,
yeah.
In Belfast. And he's saying, oh, it's so great. So many people are writing in and sending letters and everything. And even though, you know, 85% of you are women, calling. And I just wanted to let you know that I am married. But that one woman, Gladys, who spent so much time working on those photographs, I wanted to let you know that I will meet you for coffee. That was great. I almost fell over. I went, is this legit? So,
but I got a question for you. Were you born in the States?
I was. Harvey, Illinois.
Yeah. Harvey, Illinois, okay.
Yeah, but I left when I was 18. I've more or less, apart from the couple years at Carmel when I was teaching in the 90s, and then I spent 6 months in Rhode Island back in 2002, but more or less my adult life has been
in Ireland.
You got a Northern Ireland accent, sort of.
You do.
I don't know what I sound like anymore.
Yeah.
No, you've got an accent, just so you know.
Yeah.
As soon as you introduce yourself.
And it's Northern Ireland. It's not, you know,
Yeah.
That's cool.
Hey, when we went to Belfast, was terrific.
It was, yeah. We stayed at the Europa Hotel, the most bombed hotel in the world or whatever.
Yeah.
They checked us out, really. When me and Huli walked in, they threw us up against the wall, went through our luggage.
As they should.
Yes.
It's a great city, and it's really transformed. Like, the peace process started kind of officially in 1998. That's when I was married and living up there. And the transformation is, it's unrecognizable. You know, because it used to be that when you went into a store, you were searched the way you might be in an airport.
Yeah.
And, you know, military on the streets and that's all transformed.
Thank God.
Yeah.
It was beautiful. It was, when we went down to where they had built the Titanic.
We went to the Titanic.
It's beautiful.
Yeah.
It's just beautiful.
Stormont is gorgeous.
Yeah. The Parliament buildings.
Yeah.
There's been no government the last 2 years. Because there's been a division
between the two
main parties. Yeah, so it's been functioning without a government. It'll be a two-year anniversary in January. So
that would be great if we had that here.
Could you imagine?
Oh, would it ever. Yeah.
Yes.
So what was your first job in Ireland? Are you an Irish citizen now?
I'm both.
Oh, okay.
I'm both, yeah.
Dual citizens. Yeah.
There you are. So the first thing I did was I did a master's degree in Trinity because I loved teaching.
Sure.
I went back and did some further stuff, and I ended up writing a number of books in the field of education. Mm-hmm. So I was looking at mainly young people dropping out of school and educational responses to that and whatnot. And so I was based in a place called Marino Institute in Dublin.
Okay.
And I actually lived on Bull Island, which is in just off the coast of Clontarf in Dublin, and there's only 7 houses there.
Wow.
And it's
so you could take a ferry back and forth?
No, a wooden bridge got you across. Yeah. And there was a couple cottages. I was in one of those, and a row of 5 houses, a golf course, and a bird sanctuary, and nothing else. So it was like living in the city and in the country at the same time.
Yeah.
You looked out the back door, and the tide was coming in, and out the front, you'd see the smokestacks of Sandy Mount in Dublin across from us. So.
Do you and Hillary have kids?
Wait. When you were, where was this, in Dublin?
In Dublin, yeah.
And what was the name of the island?
Bull Island.
What's the name of the golf course?
Royal Dublin.
Really?
Yeah. Bull Island was actually created by, do you remember Captain Cook?
Yeah.
He was a genius with tides and everything, and he built the Bull Wall, and he predicted that the silting of the tide coming out would form this island. And he was right. You know, he was predicting this in the late 1700s or that.
Yeah.
But, and they've got a preserve on it, so nothing else will be built there. And then after Bull Island, I lived on a boat, on a barge in Charlotte.
With your
Key.
Wife?
No, this was just before marriage.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I wised up eventually.
I was going to say you.
She wised you up.
That's right.
Do you guys have kids?
We do. Christopher and Sophie, 14 and 12.
Oh, wow. And so they're living in Belfast too, right?
Yeah.
Okay, wow.
That is great.
And they love Chicago. They've been over the last couple summers.
Are they here with you for this trip?
No. Okay. It's a solo run this time.
Okay,
so.
Yeah. Now, I noticed that you were working with kids in prison.
Yeah.
That was some of the greatest stuff ever. He went and interviewed these young Irish kids in prison, and they were young, like 18, 17. And they'd have screwed up lives and... but obviously you couldn't show them on camera, so he did claymation.
What's claymation?
Claymation is animation with plasticine.
It's like Gumby.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Am I right?
I did a Gumby film, yeah. Yeah.
But and it was funny because of the thing, they'd be swearing and stuff and playing music and telling you about their lives, and it somehow humanized them, I thought. They didn't look like tough kids anymore.
Exactly. And what made a big difference, which we weren't anticipating, but when you do it in animation, you don't just focus on the one guy and come away saying that's just his story. You tend to generalize and say, you know, there's a lot of people like this. And that story kind of makes a difference.
Yeah. Now, what brought that project on?
I had been working in Queen's University Edgehill College, directing a peace-building program from 2006, and I contacted the prison, and I said, look, I'd be happy to come in and do some work with some of the inmates over a period of time. So I was there every Friday for about 4 years doing a class called, kind of a class, exploring stuff called My Identity, and then we did something called My Story. And the My Story
now,
stuff.
Now, were these Catholic or Protestant?
Both.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. And they came from all kinds of backgrounds. It was interesting because, you know, at that age, most of them wouldn't have really experienced any of the troubles. They would in story.
Oh, yeah.
But they wouldn't. It wouldn't have been firsthand.
Yet, oh, okay.
The identity stuff
sure.
is critical to address because you got to help them humanize the other.
Right.
And you do that when you meet. And you tell stories and you see connections.
And that's what and you whatnot. Were doing, putting them together and stuff?
Yeah. Exactly,
and
yeah.
How old were the kids?
In the prison, the age range was 16 to 23, but I was mainly working with 17, 18-year-olds.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and some amazing characters. And that's another humanizing bit.
You should go see it. You can see it on YouTube. It's called...
Yeah. Inside Stories.
Scott Bolt, B-O-L-D-T, Inside Stories. And there's a ton
and
of them there.
Jasbir Singh, he's from India. He's now a resident in Belfast, and he was the animator. And you wouldn't believe it
great.
Because that film was more or less made in kind of his bedroom with a mini screen and him.
Well, that takes forever, though, to make animation.
About 3 seconds a day.
Wow.
Is the
average.
3 seconds
a day is what they got through.
Yeah. Oh.
Really?
Yeah.
It's because you got to move the clay people. It's clay. You got to mold them into. And
remember the clay people on.
Right, Flash Gordon.
Yeah, Flash
Those
Gordon.
Those are the mole men. But you got to see this because it's funny because the faces are funny, obviously, because they're claymation. But then the stuff they're talking about, you know, the kid was playing you a song and he stopped and he goes, oh, no, and a stream of F words came out of his mouth.
And we had to subtitle it to make sure people would understand
them.
Yeah, because even folks in Belfast wouldn't necessarily catch that accent, you know. And I know that the listeners can't appreciate this, but Skinny actually has a remarkable resemblance to Clutch Cargo. So I think there's an animation career that's out there for you.
Billy's loving that.
Clutch Cargo.
You remember him, right?
That's what they used to call
Spinner
Bob
and Paddle.
Standry.
Spinner and Bob Standry does look like Clutch Cargo. He's got that jaw. It's the jaw.
Jaw Man. That's his name. Clutch Cargo.
Jaw Man.
He grew up, funny. He was Clutch or he was Jaw Man.
That's funny. But it's the same kind of a thing. How many of those did you do?
I did a number. We did Inside Stories. Then we did a longer documentary about a half hour called Choose. And that was looking
at... All claymation?
That was different. Again, we filmed people live and then Jasbir altered it to look like they were pencil drawings or sketches.
Wow.
And then projected them like throughout Belfast, like on murals and different...
Cool.
Key areas within the city.
Yeah.
And that's called Choose, and that kind of presented loyalist and Republican viewpoints, but more younger folks, because we had a guy, Shayna Walsh, who was a cellmate of Bobby Sands.
Oh, really?
Really?
He's the one who announced that the war's over as an IRA member, and now he's a Sinn Féin councillor. A great guy. Sold out on
He's a
peace.
Member of Parliament, then. Is he?
Well, Belfast City Council.
Oh, okay.
And then Jackie MacDonald, the head of the Ulster Defence Association, the opposite loyalist organization, and again, sold out on peace, and a real... it took a lot of courage for guys from a loyalist background to work towards peace, because if you were from a Republican point of view and you bought into the peace process, you could still be fighting for... a united Ireland, but you're doing it nonviolently, politically and community development.
Yeah.
Where if you're a loyalist, you were there, you know, in your mind to defend, to remain part of the United Kingdom. Now there's a peace process. What's your role? What do you do?
Yeah.
And they didn't have channels into really politics or other stuff. So a lot of, you know, part of the untold story of the peace process is the work of paramilitary groups to stay away from criminality and not use the arsenals that they had and to go into decommissioning and whatnot. So so those two guys were kind of bookends in that documentary, and then we had a lot of younger voices, people who would identify as being a loyalist or Republican, but would also often have friends from other sides and that.
How is Ireland doing right now economically?
Well, it's a mixed. I mean, you have the Republic of Ireland, which has really been growing the last number of years. You remember the days of the Celtic Tiger? Well,
right.
It's you know, kind of outperforming other European economies the last 4 or 5 years. Where Northern Ireland is okay, but you know, the whole question about exiting the European Union and the border and...
What are they going to do with Brexit?
I'm glad you asked that, Skinny.
I wish you'd answer that question. Well, it's an open question. You know, there's the thing that I learned from my early days coming to Ireland. They say that there's always an Irish solution to an Irish problem. So the border will be sorted one way or the other.
Right.
You know, they'll have to maybe duck and dive and dodge a few regulations and that. But people. You know, some people are predicting more dire consequences, like there'll be a return to violence or stuff
like
that.
There was a British PM who said, if the Irish won't, you know, buckle under, we will just start starving them out. I said, boy, that sounds familiar.
Right. That just was recently.
Yeah, it was just last week. It's like, hey, wait a minute. Because they're mad because they feel like, oh, the Irish are going to stop Brexit or whatever.
It's going to hold things back.
Yeah.
But a lot of that's just bombast and for, you know, political scoring.
Yeah.
Now we know a little bit about bombing.
Yeah, we do.
We have someone in this country does a bit of that.
He's good at it. What about culture or the culture hub? Was that more recently, that show?
Yeah, I got involved.
It was like
in that
an arts show about what's going on in town. And
exactly.
Kind of cool.
Yeah. And I got involved in that sideways. The lady who started it, she had designed some books that I had done and some other resources.
Right.
And I was leaving some of those into her. And she says, oh, I just started this magazine. So I read the first issue, and it looked great. She's the designer. The content wasn't well written or wasn't that good.
Probably
so.
Guys from Carmel did some
of that. Yeah, just off the boat. You know?
But it's funny seeing you. I mean, you look so straight right now, but you had this outfit on that was just a riot. That you were like playing a character on that show, Culture Hub. It was a funny bit.
That's really me.
I know, but it's an accentuated version of you.
That's
know?
It.
Yeah.
But that was a great platform because I got to meet people from all walks of life.
Oh,
tremendous
artists, musicians,
artists
and
comedians.
Stuff like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
How long did that run?
The magazine's still going. The show went about 20 episodes or that.
Yeah.
And then I work-wise, it took me, because that was more of a voluntary endeavor.
Yeah, sure.
So work took me away from that. But then my wife and I started the show last year. We ran a couple episodes, and for health reasons, we had to pause it.
What was the name of that show?
First Encounters. So we were talking to people about their first encounter. It's kind of a title.
How they met, you mean?
Could have been that. It could be the first encounter of anything. So it's open-ended. You could do anything with a show like that. So what was your first encounter of coming to Ireland? Or what was yours working your job? And that.
Yeah.
So it gave us a platform to meet, again, a wide range of folks and just...
Scott, you know who we've had on here a number of times is Jimmy Dinahan.
Oh,
do you know who Jimmy Dinahan
he
is?
He was the Minister of Culture.
He was the Minister of Culture.
Okay.
From Kerry. He's from Kerry.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
And he was in charge of the the diaspora.
Yeah, he was the minister of the diaspora.
Yeah, and terrific. We've probably had him on 5 times.
He's
but
from
really
Listowel.
Terrific guy. Yeah, and
but very plugged into the arts.
Yeah, very plugged into the arts and he was, you know, he was, you know, explain how Ireland is so deep into the arts and always has been deep into.
It's remarkable.
That's the most one of the most remarkable things about Ireland is when we go there on our trips and everything, you can have a conversation with anybody.
Yeah, and
about anything.
About anything.
Yeah. And they'll know something and it'll be interesting.
They know something and they know stuff about the United States that you could ask people on the street here. They don't, you know.
They don't know.
Oh, let me ask you about Omaha, Nebraska. You know, Warren Buffett does. And they go through this stuff, and you're like, how does this guy know this? But you can have a conversation about anything with them, and they're really well-read and really...
And tuned in.
They have a great education system as well. Ireland.
They do.
Yeah.
And I have a friend, great friend from Colorado, professional musician, and he worked with me for a year in the peace-building stuff. I actually met him in Croatia in a program that we were doing there. And he would go in even to like an open mic night, say in a place like this, and he was just knocked out with the talented people who would get up
and
comedians, you know, and sing or play guitar and say, oh, I just wrote this poem or this song. You know, it's a real, and I suppose it feeds off each other.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. And we, when we do our trips, Darren, we always bring, like,
you bring a fiddler or
a, we bring a musician. A musician. And yeah. Not just a great musician,
yeah.
Chicago,
yeah.
Irish musician. And we've been really fortunate. And you know, they're doing their thing in a pub or something. That's, can we have so-and-so come up there?
Yeah.
And they're just wonderful, aren't they, Julio?
They are. They're terrific. And it's like when you bring in your own musicians, you bring the party right into the pub.
Right.
Exactly.
They love you for that. Yeah. I love Ireland. It's a magic, magic place, you know.
It really is.
So what are you doing when you go back? What do you got lined up? Anything?
Well, what brought me to the States this time was there's an educational movement that started in the States in Rhode Island called Big Picture Learning.
And Big Picture Learning.
Yeah, yeah, public schools. They got about 65 across the U.S. and loads internationally. So I was first writing about them for the Department of Education in Dublin back in the late 90s when they started.
Skinny taught school for a long time here.
Yeah, I taught the public schools here in Chicago.
Okay.
They're a little bit different than the public schools.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
And so I'm getting back involved with Big Picture because they've developed so much internationally. I'm going to have an input in some of that development and whatnot. So I was at a conference. I've kind of traversed the contiguous U.S. the last while. I flew into Philly. I was in L.A. The conference was Reno.
Yeah.
And now I'm in Chicago. And so I was there. There was a Big Picture leadership conference. So I was connected with folks. And then I'll be back a few times now between here in July doing some work and follow up and then developing the international stuff. So,
and your kids are growing up in Belfast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they go to Lagan College, which was the first integrated college. Now, integrated in Northern Irish terms means Catholic and Protestant.
Oh, yeah.
So it was opened in 1981.
Yeah.
And it was the first of its kind. And they're set up on the basis that 40% is from each identity. And then 20% could be either or other. And great school, quite, you know, dynamic because they have that focus and they bring kids from all different backgrounds and cultures and whatnot.
Yeah.
So Christopher's, they start secondary school younger. So Sophie is 12. She's in her first year. Christopher's 14. He's in his third year.
Uh-huh.
And so they're all involved in school and
good
loving
for them.
It, you know.
Yeah. Whereabouts do you live?
The east side of Belvedere. Not too far from Stormont.
Oh, well, that's nice.
Yeah.
Very
yeah.
nice, yeah.
Yeah, beautiful. So, yeah, we have a house there with a couple hens, a dog, three cats, a couple fish, you know. And we also do Airbnb out of it, so it's a...
Do you really?
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, so we have a rotation of folks from all walks
that's
of life.
Cool.
And you get to meet a lot of characters, I'm sure.
Yeah.
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 That's great.
And really good. So, yeah, and it turns out my son, through no genes of mine, is an outstanding musician. He's only 14, and he's playing gigs in Belfast.
What does he play?
Guitar and sings.
Oh, good
and
for him.
And he's actually, on Saturday, he's playing for 4 hours in the center of Belfast and getting paid more than I get paid. So
that's good.
I'm trying to cultivate that.
Yeah.
You know?
Now, if anybody wants to, they can Google Scott Bolt, B-O-L-D-T, to watch Inside Stories.
Yes, or Choose. And there's also...
What's Choose?
Choose was the one I mentioned about Republican and Loyalist
voices.
Oh,
yeah, 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 okay.
There's also Horn Okay Please, which is a day in the life of a Bombay or Mumbai taxi driver. That was an award-winning animation short.
Okay.
It actually won the top prize.
With the same animator?
Jazz Bear and a guy called Joel Simon. It actually won first prize in the Chicago... thing that year, which is, I don't even know what year
Chicago
it was.
Irish Film Festival?
Yeah, 2008. Okay. No, it wouldn't have been Chicago. It was the Animation Film Festival.
Oh, okay.
I could, 2008 maybe, I'm not too sure.
Yeah.
And then we did Hear My Voice and that, which was more about migration into Northern Ireland and giving a voice to people who had sought asylum or become refugees or were migrating from other parts of Europe. So there's a bit of a body of work that
I'd
way.
I'd say so. You know? Yeah. Well, anything you want to tell the people in Chicago, the Irish American community?
Come over and visit.
Yeah. Sure.
You know, people are always saying to me, oh, I'd love to go someday.
Yeah.
I'd love to go someday. Yeah. Well, get on an airplane.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
You know, if you drive slowly to Peoria, it takes nearly as long.
How old were you when you went there?
18.
God bless you.
Yeah.
Good for
it's
you.
Like my father came here. He left on May 5th from Cork when he came to the United States and got here May 21st.
Wow. Right? Oh, on a boat. Huh?
On a boat. Yeah. Now, today, you can get on a plane and be there in 7 hours or whatever. Mm-hmm. And people should go because you hear the stories and you meet the people and all that, but you got to go there to really
magic.
Understand.
It's magic. Ireland is magic. I tell everybody, the spirit speaks louder in Ireland. It's more of a spiritual connection you make when you're in Ireland.
And there's also a lot of practical on-the-ground differences that are relevant here, like what it costs for health care, what it costs for education, or in a sense, what it doesn't cost, you know, and that people's taxes are not as here. And Ireland is hardly wealthier than the United States, you know, but just seeing a different place, meeting folks. Yeah. And what I always tell people when they do come and visit is just kind of get lost, you know. Yeah. You know, go see a few
things.
Well,
wait, there's parts of Belfast I didn't want to get lost in.
You'd still be welcome. You'd still be welcome. I'll bail you out anyway.
Okay. I know Scott Bolt. Yeah, that's going to go over good. No, I just remember that. We were in a pub one night. Do you remember that? And it was like, wait a minute. We're getting the evil eye.
Oh, they did. Well, it wasn't bad.
Yeah.
There's tons of places like that in
Chicago. Of course there are, yeah. Yes.
But it was...
You know, when you walk in the door and everybody turns around and looks at you like, who are you? Uh-oh. Yeah.
No, we had a great time there. And it's amazing that Ireland, if you look at the history, it's amazing that they are who they are today because... The way they were abused and
could not kill the character.
And they are. If you go to Philadelphia, you go to Boston, you go come to Chicago. They built these cities.
Yeah.
I mean, when the real history, when you really go in and delve into what actually took place in these cities, the history here is so incredible. With the Irish, especially the nuns and the priests that educated all those, the Italians, the Germans, the Irish, that came, all the immigrants that came here. And today, it's fashionable to attack the church and attack the, but.
And also to attack immigrants.
Immigrants. Yeah. Exactly. But that's what every one of these cities was created by and built by. And it's just, but the history, and in this town, we had, the history detective on last week.
Yeah, we had Ricky Barrett on, yeah.
And he knows...
The first Chicago police officer killed in the line of duty was a guy from Ireland named Constable Quinn. Yeah.
Yeah, and he's done all this research, but when he explains this stuff, it's like... It's unbelievable.
Yeah. Well, because it's a small island, because there used to be a huge population. Like it was over
8 million.
8 million at the time of the famine. And because of its history as well, people are often looking outside the borders for opportunity, possibility, escape at times.
And, exactly.
And then once people go somewhere, then they write home or the word gets back, come here, we'll get you a job, we'll get you set up in that. And, so even South America, Central America and that, places that people don't associate as much with the Irish.
Big populations of Irish. You go to Brazil, you go to Chile, you go to...
Argentina,
yeah. Big population.
We got to roll, guys. Scott, thank you so much.
This is terrific.
Best of luck in Belfast.
Yes.
I'm going to look you up out there.
Do. And then get my brother on the show and hear his side of things.
Absolutely. So. Okay. Has he been over there?
Oh, yeah, he is.
Oh, good.
He has, yeah.
Okay. We got to get a plug-in for Green Owl.
Green Owl Carpet Cleaning.
Yeah. And you're doing that in Belfast as well.
I started that. Yeah, I was inspired by my brother. Yeah. Green Owl Carpet
Cleaning.
They clean
carpets. Yeah.
Not only do they clean carpets, it's the best thing going. It's immediately dry. It's all organic.
Tell them to start sponsoring this show.
That's it. I'm looking for my cut. So.
Okay, good.
All right. Thanks so much,
Thank
Scott.
You,
this
Scott.
Is terrific.
God bless you.
Pleasure.
God bless. We'll be right back on the Skinny and Hooley Show after these messages from our friends.
This is Mike Houlihan. I support Concern Worldwide. If you want to do something about global poverty, hunger, refugees, the unacceptable suffering of young children, if you want to reach people directly where the need is greatest, you should too. For 50 years, since its grassroots beginnings in Dublin, Concern has saved and changed millions of lives. It's been the proud, relentlessly compassionate face of Ireland to the world. Support Concern today at concernusa.org. That's concernusa.org. There is no more Irish thing you can do.
I'm Brendan O'Brien. Back in June of 1976, a guy opened a saloon on the south side called Riley's Daughter. That guy is my dad, Boz O'Brien. Millions of pints have been poured since then. Our family has quenched the thirst of the south side for over 41 years. The storied history of Riley's Daughter is familiar to generations of friends who've told me their tales of nights they'll never forget at Riley's. Maybe they met their future wife or hubby at Riley's, or maybe they were there for many of our White Sox, Bears, or Notre Dame trips, or maybe their grandmother once bribed the judges in our Irish soda bread contest. We'll never tell. My family has been proud to be part of that over the years. One thing my dad has taught me is that you can't have too many friends. The legacy of Riley's Daughter has been the people we've been lucky enough to meet who stop by and share their good times with us. Today we're back in the South Side, right where we started, at 4010 West 111th Street in Oak Lawn. As Yogi Berra said, it's deja vu all over again. We actually closed the deal on our return the day Yogi died. God rest his soul. 2 years later, we haven't missed a step. If Yogi were alive, we'd tell him. Pull up a stool at Riley's Daughter and make yourself at home. If it's good booze and a friendly chat you're looking for, please stop by and say hello to my dad, Boz, my brother, Danny, or me, Brendan O'Brien. If you don't bring a story, we'll make sure you leave here with one. And if you mention the Skinny and Hooley Show, we'll make sure to put an extra ice cube in that drink of yours. Hope to see you back at Riley's Daughter in Oak Lawn on 111th Street.
Flood Brothers Disposal was started 80 years ago by their grandfather. Today, 15 members of the family still work together. And as in their grandfather's day, they're service-oriented and believe that the only way to do something is the right way. Flood Brothers are price competitive, so you can count on them to exceed your expectations. So contact Flood Brothers for a quote on your solid waste, recycling, and yard waste collection services. And remember, their motto, your rubbish is our bread and butter. So call Bob Flood today at 630-261-0400 or at floodbrothersdisposal.com.
When your family has suffered a loss, there's one family I know who will be there for you. Robert J. Sheehy and Sons Funeral Home are third generation family owned and operated. The Sheehy family has dedicated their lives serving families throughout Chicago and the southwest suburbs. Robert J. Sheehy and Son Funeral Home was incorporated in 1913 as a storefront at 76th and Halsted, Chicago. At the time, this is one of the few standalone funeral homes of its kind, was to be the first of many to come bearing the Sheehy name. The founder, Roger Sheehy Sr., was soon joined in business by his three sons, Roger Jr., Jack, and Bob. This trademark of success is evident 98 years later as Bob and Jim Sheehy, third generation, own and operate two locations in Orland Park and Burbank. The name Sheehy on their sign outside the funeral home means something. For them, it's very important that everyone be treated as if they were family, friend, or neighbor, as they very well could be. When my brother Willie died a few years ago, the Sheehys took very good care of our family, and you know you never forget something like that. Every detail is handled in a professional and personal manner. On a daily basis, the directors Bill Kiley, Mike Orico, and John Sullivan, and the rest of the staff, take great pride in their work, serving families as if they were their own. Bob Sheehy will tell you, we pride ourselves in offering the highest level of professionalism with every family we serve. Robert J. Sheehy and Sons Funeral Homes, here for you since 1913.
McCann's Irish Oatmeal. We've been warming the hearts, minds, and souls of the most discriminating oatmeal lovers for over 150 years. From the family farm to your table, enjoy the whole grain goodness of McCann's Irish Oatmeal today, available at your local grocery store.
And we're back on the Skinny and Hooley Show. You know Skinny?
What a great guy.
Oh, he was terrific.
We've had great guests
He's
tonight.
He's a Carmel Holy. Guy.
Yeah. Scott.
Whenever I'm walking down Western Avenue and I look out the window, Ken's or Wrong's or Hearts are in those Irish saloons, and I see the ghost of my old pal, Jimmy Goff, through the mist. He says to me, "Hey, Hooley, who die?"
Hey, Hooley, I'd like to mention about John Jack Lanigan, Sr., founder of My Jack's products.
Oh.
Jim Davern works for him.
I know My Jack's.
Yeah,
sure.
That's who Jim Davern works for.
Yeah.
Beloved husband of Patricia Lynch. Loving father of Jack Jr., Michael, William, and Daniel. Grandfather of 11. Great-grandfather of 21. Brother of Patrick, the late Thomas, Miles, Catherine, Dylan, and Margaret. Many, many nieces and nephews, Hooley.
God rest his soul.
Presentation 3 to 8 at Sheehy's.
Where all the right people
in Orland Park, and the Mass is at St. Michael's. So go to Sheehy's and you'll get the information. Sheehy's website.
Skinny Bridie Regan, native of Shenvelly Cahill, Turmacady, County Mayo, Ireland. Wife of the late Thomas, mother of Anthony, Joanne, and the late Peggy. They want to thank JoJo, who was a loving and caring caregiver. God rest her soul, Bridie Regan. And now here's the big Agnes Mahoney. Everybody at the Heritage
County
Center.
Mayo, yeah.
Everybody knew Agnes over at the Heritage
Center. Sure.
Beloved wife of the late James, loving mother of Bridget, Jimmy, Catherine, and Deirdre. She was very involved with Irish dance. Good friend of Katie Grennan's. Everybody at the Heritage Center knew Agnes. She used to be at our show all the time. Fond of antimony and all who knew her. Longtime member of the Irish American Heritage Center. Supporter of Irish dance and music. God rest her soul.
St. Pascal's, the masses.
Agnes B. Mahoney. Her kind will not come again. Okay, let's close up
a prayer for them.
Absolutely. I loved Agnes. Okay, Skinny. All right, so now, what do you want to tell us?
Well, you know, Holy, we've been doing this show for 9.5 years.
A long time.
And it's this and a couple more shows. Skinny's going to leave the show.
Yes.
And we're...
Say it ain't so.
No, so... But anyways, Holy, I don't know what you're going to do in the future. You don't know what you're going to do, but... We've had a great run, but I want to thank you and thank all the people that listen.
Yeah.
I want to thank all the sponsors.
Absolutely.
And all the great guests we've had through the years. So.
And we're going to have a big party to celebrate it.
Yes, at the Hilton this Sunday.
This Sunday at the Hilton, 3 to 7, 720 South Michigan Avenue in the Boulevard Room. Please join me and Skinny and a
lot
host
of the
great,
guests. Tell
great
the
musicians. We got Patty Holman. We have Katie Grennan. We have Catherine O'Connell. We got Max Dunn. We've got just all the great Irish musicians are going to be there, and they're all going to be playing. And then we have power pop icon Cliff Johnson. We also have Vinnie Mammoser.
We got a lot of great people, a lot of great musicians.
Terrific stuff.
It's going to be a fun time. Bring your checkbook.
Please.
It's for Hibernian Transmedia.
Yes. You want to keep
Irish
shows like
culture.
This going.
We want to keep Irish culture
Absolutely.
Alive in Chicago.
Yeah.
And we want to keep Holy feeding at the trough.
And we want to see all of you. We want to see all of you there. And if you don't have the $100, just come up and say, hey, can I give you X?
Yes.
And we'll take it, and we'll let you in, of course, you know.
Yeah, even if you got some empty pop bottles, he'll take it.
Yes.
But anyways.
But we want you to be there. You'll have a blast,
yes.
I'm telling you.
It's going to be fun. This Sunday.
This Sunday, 3 to 7.
It's after the
Bears game, so you don't have to. You can watch the Bears game.
The end of the Bears game, yeah.
Yeah. So
anyways,
there it is.
That's it. So
it's at the Hilton
That's
Sunday.
Tomorrow.
Tomorrow, 3 to 7 in the Boulevard Room. Hope to see you all there, and we will
see
you
later.
Bye.
The Skinny and Hooley Show is recorded in front of a live audience.